In what's said to be an Australian first, a new village specifically designed for aged care residents with dementia will be opened next week. The $25 million Kurrongi village in Glenorchy in suburban Hobart will house up to 96 residents in colour-coded homes. It'll also have a medical centre, a general store, a cafe and a cinema. Glenview Community Services is behind the project and its chief executive Lucy O'Flaherty joins us now. Welcome to RN Drive.
Hi, thank you.
Tell me what's different about this facility.
Well, I guess I might just clarify, it's not really colour-coded, but we definitely use colour as one of our wayfinding strategies. The village is different because it combines a number of elements, many of which have been tried and working successfully around the country in aged care settings. But the combination of a differently built environment with using dementia design principles and dementia enabling principles, the use of technology, and also looking at the model of care that we actually use in terms of how we provide care for those residents living with dementia.
So just describe how it might look and feel for residents.
Look, it's quite exciting. If you can imagine, I come from the UK, so if you can imagine a village or a small town where you've got your residential area, but you also have the cafe and the shop and the hairdresser and the medical clinics, it's very indicative of that. So we have based it on the fact that if you took an aerial shot of the local area, the Moona Glenorchy area is very much cul-de-sacs, so we have four cul-de-sacs. Again, that's about familiarity, which is really important when looking at dementia design principles. Each of those cul-de-sacs has a very different look and feel, and that's, again, dementia design principles, it's wayfinding. Each cul-de-sac has a particular tree and a particular raised bed, which is different colours. So you start to look at, you know, there's a green planter pot with a tree in it and that your front door is green. So that's a way of providing visual cues to people. There are different uses in each of those cul-de-sacs. So some of them have more English country garden type. Some have more native plants. We've got one that's got a stone fruit orchard and the fourth has a vegetable garden with raised veggie gardens and chooks. There's a chook shed. So each of those has a different look, feel, different cues. In the centre, it's co-joined by the boulevard. So you're able to, at the top of the boulevard, you can see Mount Wellington, which is a glorious Hobart reference point for all of us. But you can also look to your sides and see the community hall, then the hairdresser salon, the general store and the wellness centre, which includes a gym. Mm-hmm. So you've got that very clear distinction between your home, the cul-de-sac, and then the more communal spaces, which, you know, we'll be inviting the public to come and have a coffee so they can talk to their loved ones in a safe environment about whether residential care might be something that they need to talk about.
And what freedom do people have to move around and also to come and go as they please?
Oh, people have absolute freedom to wander around the village. Part of the technology that we're using is that very discreet observation, and that's been really important, first and foremost, for resident wellbeing and safety, but also so that we can discreetly monitor to ensure that people are travelling okay and keep a track of, you know, there is some facial recognition software that we're using so that we can sort of keep an eye out for particular individuals if we need to. The important part of that is that we're using technology to augment what we're doing, not to replace people. Staff are really important and we've made a real focus on enabling a space for people to work in. That means that it's really easy to see from cul-de-sac through down to the main area. If people do want to leave the facility, they can, but we have an airlock system so that there's an opportunity for us to find someone to go for a walk with them if they want to leave the facility. So it's a secure environment, but it's done quite respectfully so that people have, you know, it's over 2.5 acres. It's not a small space. There's a lot of spaces for people to go for a walk.
I understand that this has been quite a long-term project and has also evolved after trips to various places overseas. How does that perhaps help inform which residents might suit this environment?
So you're right, we have spent a long time, it feels like a lifetime if I'm honest, but we've spent the last 8 years working on this and that's been really important to look at, you know, what works and what doesn't, what has worked, what hasn't. And to do that, we spent a long time on a study tour around Australia, meeting some exceptional providers who were able to give us what worked for them and why it worked, because some of these are very situational based in terms of particular communities. We also took the opportunity to go overseas to the States and Canada to look at technology, and I myself got the chance to go to the UK and the Netherlands to have a look at some of the offerings. a mixture of small household models, a mixture of some people have villages that are specific for people living with dementia, but they are very representative of the Dutch community. So we were able to come back and actually tailor what worked and what we think will work in our own environment. Things like the cul-de-sac idea, you know, that's very relevant for what we're doing here. It would not be relevant for a more metropolitan sort of environment where you've got high rises and so forth.
And so you've worked taken with the University learnings. Of Tasmania, as I understand it, to match people as well?
We have. That's not been done before ever. For us, it's important that if you're going to live with someone, you have the best opportunity to live with people that you've got shared values with. So the research that University of Tasmania undertook was developing a questionnaire that's been validated, and a resident or the nearest and dearest family member can sit through and go through the questionnaire, and it then puts people into one of six typologies. Now, these six typologies, they're ways of living, so it describes characteristics, what's important, and it's very much based on people's value set. So, for example, some people, routine's really important. Myself personally, I can't stand routine. So it's really about understanding what works for that person, what's important to them, you know, traditional foods versus varied foods, those sorts of things. I mean, it's much more complex, but they're the sort of descriptors that will help us make sure that people live with people they're more likely to get on with.
And is there any evidence to show that this kind of environment could actually change the evolution of dementia?
When we look at dementia, we've worked very strongly with the Wicking Centre, and we understand that, and we see it in our day-to-day operations, that the more distress people experience, then the more impact that has on their lives and inevitably has on their life with dementia. So by creating an environment that is de-stressed, that is removing unhelpful stimuli and adding helpful stimuli, so things like the wayfinding, things like the lighting, things like the, you know, smell and sound and touch, they're the sorts of things that support, you know, stressless environments as much as possible. So that sort of stuff works to support people living with dementia, live the best lives they can.
And is it possible also, because aged care has been a high risk area during COVID-19, that with standalone homes and a more open environment, that community transmission within facilities might be mitigated?
Oh, look, we've certainly seen some papers that have been done overseas whereby that inference has absolutely been made, that living in small households significantly reduces people's risks of anything such as COVID and or things like gastro or anything that tends to unfortunately be something that happens in our industry just by the nature of communal living. But it does mean that it also enhances people's lives in terms of wellbeing. You know, living in a household of eight, that social connectedness can happen.
Great to talk with you. Good luck with it.
Thank you very much.
Lucia Flaherty, who is the Chief Executive of Glenview Community Services in Hobart. This is RN Drive.